Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The words dad, mom, hi, dog, ball, kitty, no, and nana are some of the most common first words for children. And when children begin to speak, it's an important and significant moment in their lives. It's exciting that they are finally able to communicate without just pointing, crying, or hitting somebody. Even the child can get excited about it too, since people can finally know what they are trying to communicate and say. And a child's first word can be quite interesting as well. It's interesting to see what words they pick up and what finally prompts them to speak. Their first words even reflect who they are with and what they hear. That is why words like mommy, daddy, or no are some of the most common first words for children. A child's first word is an important and significant moment in their life. In Matthew 3, we see the first words of Jesus. And in the flow of Matthew, this has been an event 30 years in the making. We have seen the Christ child, the one who is true man and true God, grow up. And he hasn't said a word for the previous 30 years in the story. He was silent for the wise men. He was silent when his family took him down to Egypt, and he came back up to Nazareth. But now, he finally speaks, and his first words are quite significant. This morning, we'll take a look at these first words in his baptism, and then see what these things mean for our lives. But before we look at our Lord's words, we need to see what prompts him to finally speak. Matthew records that Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. Just previously, John had been baptizing repentant sinners to help them be ready for the coming of Christ. When these sinners repented of their sin, he baptized them in the Jordan River. But John did more than just baptizing. As the one who was to prepare the way for Jesus, he also taught about him too. He told the people that Jesus is greater and mightier than he is. And to prove his point, he told them that he is not worthy to do even the smallest task for Jesus, like grabbing or untying his smelly sandals. John also says that he's that end-time judge who has come to baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. The one whom he had taught about and the one whom he had baptized people for has now come to him to be baptized. And what is John's response to this? Matthew says, John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? He tries to prevent Jesus from being baptized. And in a sense, you can't blame him. That would be like your doctor coming to you for medical advice, or Martin Luther asking you to explain to him justification or law and gospel. That just doesn't happen in our world. The doctor or Luther doesn't need our help or advice. The holy Jesus doesn't need to be baptized by the sinful John. John refusing to baptize Jesus makes sense from a human point of view. John sees his own sin and his own need to be baptized. Why should a sinner baptize a perfect person? But it is an account of this that our Lord speaks to explain his actions and to tell us why he has come to be baptized. Jesus speaks and says, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. The first words of Jesus in his baptism show us many things. They show us what he came to do, and that was to save us. For his baptism is a necessary thing. It is part of God's plan of salvation. He came to fulfill all righteousness, and this was the first step in doing that. For we as people have grievously sinned and have grievously strayed from him. We need a substitute, someone who can take our place and do what we cannot and have not done. God's law is summed up with these two commands. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. And the second is love your neighbor as yourself. Unfortunately, we haven't even come close to living a perfect life on this world. We've made idols for ourselves. We've misused the Lord's name. We've despised his word. We haven't loved our neighbors like we should. We've shown them anger and hatred. We've maybe lusted over them, stolen from them, coveted over the things they have, and even slandered them behind their back. We need a substitute. We need someone to take our place. And in his baptism, that is what Jesus did. When he was baptized, he took his place with sinners, people like you and me, and he takes on our sin. His baptism anticipates his death, for he died in our place and to satisfy God's wrath against us. He came to fulfill all righteousness, and he gives it to us. That righteousness, his holy status, is given and applied to us through faith. His first words in baptism show us what he came to do, and that is to save us. But they also show us another thing. His identity as God's Savior and as God's Son. Because when he was baptized, Matthew says, the Holy Trinity was revealed. He writes, and when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Matthew uses the Greek word ado, behold, to call our attention to two important things. The Greek word for behold is like an exclamation point. It is like boldening the font and then making it bigger. When people heard this word, it signaled that something important or surprising would happen next. The writer says, pay attention. Matthew says, behold, the Spirit descends on him, marking him, and the voice says, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Matthew's calling our attention to tell us that Jesus is that holy and righteous Son with whom God is well pleased. His baptism shows us that he is that Son and Savior who will win us salvation, declares him to be that one who will fulfill all righteousness. His words in baptism show us that he is God's Son and Savior. But what do these things mean for us today, some 2,000 years later? Just as Jesus was identified as God's Son in his baptism, so are we identified as his people and children from it also. In his baptism, Jesus took our identity as sinners so that we can take his identity as sinless and as God's righteous children. Through faith, we are pleasing in God's sight, and we see heaven is opened for us. And this identity as God's children even changes how we see ourselves. If I were to hold up a mirror to you, what would you see? How would you define yourself or describe who you are? Would you use positive words and descriptors like successful, beautiful, important, fit, intelligent, or rich? Would you use negative words like unimportant, ugly, a failure, a burden, a thief, or an adulterer? Would it be a mix of both positive and negative things? How do other people see you? How would they define you? However we are defined or see ourselves, we see that this definition is based on who we are and what we have done, and this can certainly change as well. But in our baptism, we are defined in Jesus by what he has done and by what he has given us. For we are loved unconditionally. We are beautiful because of Christ's righteousness. We are important and valued to the most important being in the universe, God. We are forgiven and his child. We are part of his family and have been given many loving and caring brothers and sisters in the faith. We are righteous and no longer defined by what we have done, by our failures or those past sins and mistakes. Our baptismal identity in Christ will never ever change. This is a better way to see and define ourselves because our identity and being is rooted and grounded in Jesus. This brings us peace and comfort when we sin. It gives us a security in our true identity in Christ when others or ourselves define or see ourselves in a different way. Our baptismal identity in Christ changes how we see ourselves. First words are a significant moment in anyone's life, whether the word is mom, dad, or thus it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness. With Christ's baptism, we are shown that he is that Savior and that Son of God who has come to save us and fulfill all righteousness. In his name, amen. And now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus, the one who has come to fulfill all righteousness. Amen.